If you don't have, you being a member of the body of Christ, if you don't have an expression for your desire, then the body of Christ is a lie. You cannot exist, nor were you intended to exist, without expressing fully and totally and openly whatever you are. And each one of you have an equally important function, an office, if you will, within the body. And that office is such a point that in obedience, when you do that office, all your needs will be met, the desire of your heart will be fulfilled, and you will have completed and realized with everything in you your own individual sense of destiny. Every one of you, when you were a child, knew at a point. Some of you have forgotten because, for a lot of reasons, primarily because of frustrated desire, your mind has closed it off. Every one of you, when you were a child, experienced the same thing I experienced, and all of you experienced, that there was a moment, or several moments, or a series of moments, when you felt a sense of excitement, of wonder, of destiny, of wonderment, where when that experience came upon you, or when that feeling or certainty came upon you, there was a sense of awe, a sense of being in the flow in modern pop psychology. That promise is still yours. And being in that flow will permit you to do what have seemed impossible to you all these years, and that's to abandon yourself, to give no thought for yourself. Now, in many ways, obviously, I feel a responsibility to God for you to ensure that each one of you are in that position, in that flow. It's taken more time than I would have ever, had I known it would have taken this time to get us to where we are today, I'd have gone to Peoria or someplace.
Bleak.
You know, like, there's two things I can promise you with a certainty, with the kind you, these two things that you can bet the farm on. And the first one is that the negative things, the frustrations, the feelings of inadequacy, the feelings of not belonging, the feelings of lack of worth that some of you are experiencing, you're experiencing only for one reason, so that you will be able to comfort someone else later. The second thing I can promise you is that the desire of your heart will be fulfilled, and that you will be in the flow. It may not be in the expression you think it is right now. If those two promises aren't true, then we're a joke. God's a joke. Now again I tell you that none of you now have an excuse to mind talk. I was saying at lunch today that if I'd have been God and I know what I know now about how God hates mind talk, what I'd have done, God didn't do very good. We've talked about this before, but... Right. Now, God, what I would have done is, every time that you started to mind talk, you'd have dumped your pants. No, I mean, something, no, really disgusting. No, you'd have dumped.
Yeah, messy
world. I wouldn't want to
think about it.
Yeah.
Live in the bathroom.
You must know by now that every time you're tempted to go inward, to mind the mind talk, is when you get in these moods. When you don't mind talk, when you abandon yourself, there's life. When you do mind talk, get inward, there's death. Why didn't he make it so that you just dumped every time you mind talked? Then you wouldn't do it. I still think he made a mistake in that area.
Well, you're right now until you do, but you just don't know.
Yeah.
No, I'd have made you know it.
Hang around Barbara, she'll let you know.
Well, anyway, the point, I don't have the answer to that one. I still haven't made you dump. But the point is, all of you know that in the spirit, you are dumping. You're eating your own vomit. You're eating your own dung. That's what mind talk is.
Just keep coming out with it. That's all you have to do.
Do all of you understand that?
Yeah.
The reason the desire of your heart isn't fulfilled at this instant is because you still believe that there is hope and resolution within you, i.e. within your talents and abilities. And so you sit around and consider.
Scheme,
plan. And the scriptures call that an evil doer. Even though the rest of the world, that's all they do, because that's how things get done in the world, is by evil doing. I mean, there wouldn't be anything in the world if there wasn't evil doing. I mean, no roads would be built, no cities would be built, no houses would be built, nothing. Without evil. Without Avon, self-effort, self-consideration, internalizing. But you must know by now that we're not part of that.
It's more lands without, houses that you didn't build and vineyards that you didn't plant and all
that's
those
right.
things it talks about.
That's right. You got a little picture of that? Can you understand the evilness of mind talk? See, that's why in many ways Tom has the most difficult job of any believer. Because Tom's job requires this detailed, deductive calculating. Tom's job is the enemy of spontaneity. The way Tom is forced into work in terms of the routine aspects of what he does, he becomes, his action from all appearances is the ultimate enemy of faith. Because by definition he has to program and consider all the options. But one of the things the computer never makes a provision for is God. Therefore, every concept that he sets out to program has to be, by definition, calculating without God. The rest of you are without excuse. Tom has an excuse. As long as he can see through it.
Kind of like a Baptist running a liquor store or something.
Same thing. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, from our standpoint, from everything what we're talking about, it's a psalm we haven't studied. Every once in a while we sort of look at it half-assed. But
it's not the best text.
It's a psalm about the crossing, about going into the promise. And it's sort of a psalm which defines a state of mind in the promise. You got that? There's all kinds of stuff that's been excused in the wilderness. There's all, angst is all right in the wilderness. Weirdness is all right in the wilderness. All kinds of stuff. Anger is all right in the wilderness. All of the things. Honesty is all right. You make me sick. You know. Honesty, all this shit. Everything, you know, anything's all right in the wilderness. But now, stealth has entered the promise. Now there's a lot of things that are okay for everybody else, but it is sin to you. Understand me?
I knew it. Just knew it.
Every single time.
What?
There were a lot of sins for me that weren't for anybody else.
See, you suspected it all this time.
I suspected it all along and long ago.
Now I'm open to receive it. Sorry.
Oh, no.
The first one that is no longer acceptable, that becomes the odious of the most odious of all sins is fretting. No, these are. I'm serious. Fretting. First words: fret not thyself because of evildoers.
That include yourself.
Evildoers, as we'll see definitively who that is in a minute. But of any of the evildoers, you no longer have the right of envy. Either internally or externally. Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Every single time you see something that someone else has or a condition that they're in that you think you want, then you are fretting yourself over the evildoers and envious with regard to the workers of iniquity. If you want to build that friggin' house that we've destroyed by your own efforts, then go build it. But you'll be left behind. You understand me? An evildoer, by definition, is one who leans on his own arm of understanding. Iniquity is now self-effort. For you and the promise, those are the two greatest sins that you can accomplish. Leaning on your own arm of understanding, or self-effort. It's time that you entered into his rest. It's time that you ceased from your own labors as God did from his. It is time that from now on your works will follow you instead of lead you by the nose. You must come to this point where if God does not fulfill the desire of your heart, then you will have to leave God. That's what the meaning of the promise is. This is the most dangerous point that you have ever been in. If God does not fulfill the desire of your heart, then you must leave God. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
If you don't understand me, tell me.
Well, they brought them. God had brought them that far. They were in there, supposed to take over the land. If he didn't come through for them, they would have had to. They have to do something because there they were.
Now the covenant is tested. It's only one covenant. There's not an Old Testament and a New Testament. There's only one testament, only one covenant. There's only been one covenant in time and space. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. If you don't at this point understand and believe and know with a certainty that you are the most fortunate person that has ever lived on the face of the earth, then you will leave God. Period. I mean, that could be the end. I could never, if I never said another word and you remembered that, and I will have accomplished my function in life. You are now without excuse. You will either leave or he will fulfill the desires of your heart. No other position is acceptable. No more sitting around wishing and moping. No more false sincerity. No more little schemes. Now it's either or. Make you nervous? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Stop a minute and consider. You are now a mature child of the King. Someone else has been punished for all your wrongdoing. Now possess your inheritance. Now let the games begin.
Every time you say that, you know, I realize I've never counted that. You know, you talked about it just the other night and said it again then, that somebody else has paid for that, and I just,
well, you gotta.
It's never been internalized. It's never been.
Now it is.
Emotionalized, like.
Now it
what's
is.
What's happening?
Yeah. Now it's time for it to be.
I mean, every time you say "now let the games begin," you know, I always seem to hear you say, "Bring on the lions, let the world, the flesh and devil take their best shot." I mean, I hear you say those things. The funny thing is, I never feel those things. I feel like it's truly a game. You know, I mean, the outcome's already foreseen. You know, I know exactly how to win the game. It's a game I can win every time. I really just...
Okay, that's good.
I'm amused by it.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. How many times have I repeated that?
Three.
At least.
Five or six.
Can you understand? Do all of you understand what that means? Can everybody say amen?
Wait a minute. There's another finesse.
Okay, what were the implications of saying that?
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
You said... No fret. I said it. That, you know, it's like the problem is with you when people think you're out to do them harm. And it's all that is believing that God is not there to do you harm. I mean, that's what it comes down to. But even though that's what secretly most everybody always believes. But if you don't,
Well, none of you, see, I know that none of you have ever thought that I was out to do you harm.
Well, I don't think.
Huh?
But I didn't fret that.
I'm going to say something to you that I've said before, maybe you didn't perceive it. If you can think that I'm out to do you harm, then you can think that God is out to do you harm. Mm-hmm. He's not.
He will.
No, you will.
No,
no, you will think that is what he said. All right, let's go on.
See what I mean?
For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Who shall be cut down? The workers of iniquity and the evildoers. Soon. The Lord whom you desire has suddenly come to his temple. Trust in the Lord and do good. The word good there in this translation, if from the Septuagint, and it means the same thing, is agapeo. Trust in the Lord and agape. Doesn't mean do good by your definition of good or the world's definition of good. It means trust in the Lord, and in spite of whatever you see and discern by the senses, you agape. We talked about Sunday night. You give. You see, once you trust in the Lord, once that trust is a dependency on everything, then agape is the evidence that you've trusted. You understand me?
Yeah.
And when that takes place, the automatic of it, the automatic is you will love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a command in that context. It's a command because you've seen nothing else works, but now it's a command to do that which is automatic. It takes effort from now on not to agape. And the greatest effort that you will do not to do it is to consider it, to think about it, to consider the implications. Because the moment that takes place, then you have stopped the trust in Jehovah. You've trusted in the concept that you believe God needs a counselor. So instead of the instantaneous response to every stimulus that comes around, which will be agape, you instead consider it. And what you are doing in your mind talk is acting as God's attorney, and God hates attorneys. Do you understand me? God does not need you as his counselor. You've heard me say this for years. Now live it. trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell forever, is the idea of that word dwell, in the promised land, not in this. And verily thou shalt be fed, thou shalt be cared for, is what it's properly said. But every need will be met, and that need, because God has created the desire, the need will be that the desire will be met.
Including expression, whatever
you need. Amen. Do you see its beauty, its simplicity in the promise? Thou shalt dwell in the land. And verily thou shalt be fed. Every need shall be met. There'll be tests. There'll be greater tests than you ever dreamed of. But you are rooted and grounded in love.
I just had a neat experience because. No. I don't know. It was like I was thinking about the song of in a lesson, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's the birds and all that kind of stuff. And so I was thinking, instead of thinking, it's really funny. Instead of thinking that, well, this is something, you know, I need to write down over here so I'll see this connection. I was thinking about the people in my Bible study. They need to hear this. This really kind of makes me cry. This is like, it's a weird thing.
That's neat. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires. The desires of your heart are eros. Remember the word eros, agapeo, filial? Well, the desires of your heart are personal, but they're eros. There's nothing wrong with the desire. What's been wrong all your life is the way to accomplish it, the way to achieve it. God placed the desire. Who are you to call unclean what He has declared clean? God's business to fulfill that desire. It has to be. And a desire is unfulfilled if the desire does not have an expression. I would no more have dreamed in my entire history of my born days that me doing something like I'm doing right now would fulfill every desire of my heart. My desire, and listen to me, my desire, since I was a little kid, was for power. Guess what? I have more power than the human race ever dreamed of. Because God has given to me the keys to the kingdom of heaven.
I was just sitting here, it's funny you said that, because I was just sitting here thinking that my desire has always been music and song, and it just, I thought about the symphony, it's like the entire symphony, I'm part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire symphony, the universe.
Yeah.
Just like, whoa.
Delight thyself also in the desire of the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of the desires of thine heart. Give. Freely given, no effort. That doesn't mean that you're going to sit around and figure out how to get what you think your plan is, and then He is going to help you. He's going to walk hand in hand with you to do it. That's what religion is. That's Babylon. Get the fuck out of Babylon. Now, what does it mean? Seems like it's kind of important.
we might understand what it means to delight thyself in the Lord, doesn't it? I mean, that's what it's... I mean, not one of you really give a... You don't care about all this religious stuff. You care about fulfilling your destiny. And God cares about you fulfilling your destiny. That's why you were born. That's why He took the trouble to create you. Go to Isaiah 58. But keep, we're going to make, be cutting, keep your finger in the Psalms. Verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath.
Where are you?
Wait.
Isaiah 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Remember we're talking now. Paul, if you agree, Paul wrote Hebrews, and the book of Hebrews defined the Sabbath in a massive new way. Now, Sabbath, the Sabbath is Christ. Right? Everybody understand? Okay, so here we go. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places. You're not going to just walk on them anymore, just touch them anymore, take them in. You're going to ride on those mothers. The very thing that has been an enemy will be the strength. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now how in the hell do you do that? I mean, that's pretty difficult. How in the hell am I going to stop thinking my own thoughts? How am I going to turn my foot away from doing my stuff? How am I going to not do my own way, or speak my own words, or do my own pleasure? How do I do that? I delight myself in the Lord. The instant that I see, it's no longer I that live. I can't have an independent thought. That's what the whole trek through the wilderness has been. There's never again the need to second guess. There's never again the need to mind think. Delight thyself in the Lord. The instant I know that it is no longer I that live, but Christ. We're back to the basics. It's no longer I that live, but Christ, who liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. All this time you thought, okay, I've got the faith of. And 5 minutes later you were thinking about it. That just proved you had the faith in. Faith in is okay for a while. It's a childish thing. Now you have the faith of. You can never again have your own thought. This has staggering implications. In the instant that takes place in your head, then all kinds of mind-blowing things begin to take place in the promise. My God, whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. You have all things that you've ever desired. Instantly. And someday, now! Be tested. Who cares? Let the world, the devil, and the flesh take their best shot. Let the Canaanites come on. Let the high places come on. Let the hydras come on. Let the snakes come on. Nothing can touch us. Hallelujah. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You were born to have the desire of your heart fulfilled. It's God's good pleasure to give you freely all things the instant you stop being his counselor. Now you walk without doubt. The shadow, the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire are no longer here. They left in the wilderness. Now you are the Word of God incarnate. No matter how blasphemous that'll sound to your Baptist friends. The cloud served its purpose. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire disappear at the border. Now doubt is impossible. Now second guessing is impossible. Now consideration of self is impossible. Because self is him. You have lost your life. The cross, for the first time now, is experientially realized at the deepest recesses of your being. You have become, in the spirit, the young man, ready to reproduce. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Do agape. Remember that. Whenever you, 99% of the time when it says good in the scriptures.
It's translated in Septuagint agape.
Yeah. Agapeo. What we do is we automatically internalize that word good. No matter how much we've heard, we internalize the word good to our idolatry. We internalize the words good and evil. All cultures do it. All languages do it. It's the nature of the beast. You internalize the word good to your, or evil, to your to your construct of the phony tree of life, which is the grove. Now, in Bananas, we've been studying the 12 labors of Hercules. The hydra is a beast that's reflected in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And the beast has 7 heads and 10 crowns. And what happens, all sensory perception defines the heads as a problem. I mean, you're not even aware of the existence of the hydra until you're confronted with some negative response, some negative stimulus. And then you then perceive something is going on as a battle. You understand me? And so your sensory perception, your experience in Egypt and in the wilderness, and your whole historical, genetic, cultural makeup define that you must do battle with that head. You understand me? And you must solve that problem, that head. And you may succeed. But what happens to this hydra has the unique ability that anytime you cut one of the heads off, it grows a new one almost instantly. And so the lesson of Hercules in terms of as applied to Christ is Hercules. is that he, by discernment, and it never, I mean, it's like every problem you confront has 7-to-1 odds against you, at least, sometimes 9, sometimes more so. And so you always address, because, well, let me, it's much more than that. Each of those heads have 10 crowns. Well, in some calculations, each of the heads have 10 horns, and in each of the horns are 10 crowns. So it's exponential. Without discernment, when you act as a brute beast, you know, it's like, no, I can't do that. I was just remembering Harry and Doug's discernment.
If you ever bring that up.
I heard it.
Anyway, but you can see that there are the 7 heads, if you define these 10, 7, on each of those 7 heads are 10 horns, and on each of the 10 horns are 10 crowns. That's one interpretation of the book of Revelation. They're all enemies. You got to understand that. We've talked around it, but I've never gone through it, and we will soon, because now we can go do the thing. But every one of those 10 crowns are the 10 sorceries of Egypt. And so the point is, when you look at a negative stimulus by the senses as a brute beast, you will attack the problem. Well, and you'll try to find a solution to the problem. Well, that's all of these horns, and you know, it's exponential out there. Well, if you get a little bit discernment, you've learned a little bit discernment while you've been in the wilderness, then you maybe know enough to not to attack the crowns, but to attack the horn. Then you start getting more discernment, and you finally, okay, now I'm going to attack the son of a bitch. I'm going to win. I'm going to cut his head off. That's the way to do it. Ignore the horns. But even at that point, your odds are 7-to-1 against you. After you, when you begin to enter the promise, the odds against you see what's been going on. The beast is extant in Egypt. Let's look at it real quick. I'll just read it to you. Don't go there. Revelation 13. Just, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Okay, so if you take it, that's a whole bunch of situations. Every one of those things is blasphemous. It's an enemy of faith. You understand? Okay, so the trek, if we want to look at it from this metaphor, the trek from Egypt to the New Jerusalem is simply the battle with that one beast that has 7 heads, 10 horns on each of the heads, and upon the horns 10 crowns on each of the crowns. Anybody good at math? How many enemies is that?
700 crowns, 70 horns, and 7 heads.
So how many?
777.
777. So when you're confronted with a stimulus while you're still in Egypt, it's all those. You wander through and you finally get now at the point of crossing. Now you're at the point where there are 7 enemies. And those 7 enemies of faith are the usurpers in the land. And now you're back. You're not just battling the horns of the crowns. You're battling that beast. Now, you know enough not to attack the crowns. Hopefully you know enough not to attack the crowns. You know enough not to attack the horns. Now we're getting down. Now the real battle.
If the crowns are the 10 sources of Egypt, what are the horns?
No. I don't want to get into that. That's all complicated right now.
They're all issues.
They're value systems. Let me just put it that way. They're ways to... The 10 crowns are the sorceries to accomplish the value systems.
now we're at a, now we're at the point, where, and you'll make mistakes. You'll go, you'll battle a wrong enemy. You know, and even if you're battling the one that looks like it's going, the one that has to do with you, then you'll cut its head off and it'll grow another one back. But eventually, by discernment, by the promise, you will be able to see the one head of the seven that is the one that is the control point that has resurrected itself from the dead, from the deadly head wound. Hmm. That's once you, once that is destroyed, then you have the right as a legal inheritor of the New Jerusalem. Are you understanding the process that we're in? Everybody agree? At least a little bit.
As I recall the story, he cut off the heads and seared in there with a torch so they couldn't go back, and the last head was immortal, and so he buried it under a rock.
The last head was golden, and he slayed it. He seared the others with fire, and the last head was golden, the golden head, and he cut it off, and it was, he buried it under the rock while it was still hissing.
Guess where the wood from the fire came?
And the wood from the fire came from the groves, the sacred groves.
This is the first, you know, when you were talking, this is the first time I'd ever seen the real spiritual domination of Christ over anything.
Right.
That, you know, it was the first time I'd ever, you know, because of always having looked at what he did in the natural, and that was the only, you know, it didn't seem like that was real victory. And when you're explaining it, felt like it was he had the cosmic, I mean, the power of the entire thing when you were saying that.
That's what he said when it's finished. Okay, back to Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, what is the it to pass? The desire of your heart, but it's also all this complicated shit that I talk about. You don't have to understand all this. Nobody, it's not necessary for salvation to understand the book of Revelation. Now, I'm glad we do. It's not necessary for salvation to understand the book of Daniel. I'm glad we do. It's not necessary for Revelation to understand the book of, I mean for salvation to understand the book of Leviticus. I'm glad we do. Because, and part of it has to do with me. It was my, in effect it was spiritual greed, but the spiritual greed was a desire in my heart. I demanded from my own experience that I would understand all mysteries. If I did not understand all mysteries, I would have left. That was my own thing. I could not accept the bullshit of, oh, well, just take it by faith.
Which in somebody else may not necessarily be bullshit.
That's right. But faith, from God's standpoint, you don't have to understand. You don't have to know, but you have to understand. It's the seed that falls into the ground with understanding. And you understand at whatever level you are, and whatever level you are is perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Now by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Remember, the sanctified offerings were the offerings that were taken right outside the gate. Stables and the areas in which an offering was taken in there, and it was genetically, I mean, they had to play all kind. They knew more about genetics than modern man does to come up with the genetically pure sacrifices that could meet these standards. But, you know, no matter how they tried, I'm sure now that there were only seven red heifers, the ashes of the red heifer, because it was the most difficult of all They were even breeding sparrows. Or, you know, that's another story. I'll tell you that. When we're almost to the clay. You know you all know you have leprosy. Pretty soon we're going to get cleansed as soon as we get back from Gilmont.
Going to get what?
Cleansed. But in those sacrifices that were set apart, like in the scapegoat, they had to look exactly alike, they had to be exactly the same price, they had to be born at the same, you know, all and all and all, and all the twin stuff. But a set of scapegoats could look totally different from another set. A set of the peace offering and the sin offering and the could look totally different than another set. In other words, if you looked in there, unless, I mean, the two that were alike may be milling around. I mean, if you look, you'd see a total, you wouldn't know what the hell, why they were like they were. It was only at the time of sacrifice that they were taken and put together for the demands of the law. You have to begin to appreciate your own uniqueness without comparing yourself to anyone else. You can't do that any longer. You no longer have the right to compare yourself in any dimension with anyone else. Because then you have made the sacrifice of Christ of none effect. Believe it or not, from the spirit, in the spirit, your twin was crucified on the cross. You see it?
That's an interesting connection. The scapegoats and how the different things.
So to change anything, even possible, makes the cross of none.
That's right. I mean, I want you to begin to appreciate your uniqueness.
To change, I do, I appreciate it.
Not that much.
Change anything about you.
It's slobbering.
Would you have me change?
He's drooling. Now, again, I must tell you this. When I say appreciate your uniqueness, I also must tell you this. That when the sacrifices were two things. The first one was, let's take the sacrifice into the temple, let's slit its throat, and let's cut it open. Now the sacrifice, an order of priests, investigated the insides of the animal. If they found a spot on the inside of the animal, there was another order of priests that took that slaughtered animal, which could not be used for anything then, because, and it was put on a cart, and it was dragged, it traversed to the Dead Sea. It's a long way from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, but they had to do that by their... So you can understand, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's dividing asunder, even to the point of soul and spirit, down to where a joint and marrow meets. And that's what's been happening in us. You've been divided, you've been cut apart, you've been... Now, the only way that you could be found lacking at the deepest recesses of your being is for you to believe at the deepest recesses of your being that God has forsaken you in that area. And say that I call this unclean. And when you say I call this unclean, then you are calling Christ unclean because he's your twin. Am I communicating? So there is no part of you that isn't him. You've got to see this. But by the same token, in the promise, in that pen, if another there was a rebellious animal that was kicking and biting, That animal was taken alive with this order, the dead ones that are on the cart. They took that animal out in a barge, out in the middle of the Dead Sea, and hung a millstone around its neck and drowned it in the middle of the Dead Sea. That's why Christ said, if you offend, be careful that you bite and devour, not one another. In Paul, in Christ, when he said, if you offend one of these my little ones, it would be better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and you were cast into the depths of the sea. It wasn't just any sea, it was the sea where the sacrifices were destroyed. Alive! It'd be better for you that to happen to you than for what will happen to you. Okay. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Thy righteousness. And thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now, you can understand from the spiritual standpoint that the only wicked now, since the cross, is self-effort, self-realization. All of the tools of the world are sorcery. There is not one thing that can be accomplished in the world that isn't sorcery. It's the activity of all high place identities. But again, let me, I'm picking on Larry, but I'm not.
But it'll sound like
that. Another function of all high place identity is murdering additional sacrifices, butchering them. So all high place identities, just like for us, the only thing that we can be are either priests and Levites, and all Levites are priests, the only thing all high place identities can do is sorcery and butchery. That's all you have to do that to survive. Mm-hmm. What?
What does that have to do with Larry?
Well, because...
because he's a butcher.
No, they identified the high place identity of two people. Oh. One is a sorcerer and one is a butcher.
Well, they were right as far as it went.
It's a thing of... the seven heads, and it wasn't.
Yeah. You know. You got to get that one head.
Wow.
This is weird because in the stuff that I'm thinking, you know, writing about, it's like sorcery or magic is divided into these two kinds of things. It's the people who are doing sorcery, and then the people who obliterate all the sorcerers, or you know, they take over and oppress their fellow sorcerers and feed them.
That's exactly what
happened. Feed them to the ovens. You know,
that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's like these two giant.
Okay.
Partitions.
Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now again, remember, it's been okay from now on. All the time you're in Egypt, all the time you're in the wilderness. I've kidded you. You know, God grant me patience. I want it now. Patience is impossible. Waiting is impossible in the world or in the wilderness. Because the cloud, Israel didn't like it worth a crap when the cloud was down. They never did. But now the cloud is gone. The fire is gone. Now we can do what it says in the 6th chapter of Hebrews. Go beyond the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now you can wait on Him. Now, what Jeremiah said and what Paul repeated, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, that which God hath prepared for them that wait on Him. You got it? Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from, and the idea of prospering in the way and wicked devices to pass, it's all devices, all plans, all, the word devices is better translated in imaginations, or schemes. You know, again, a new thing about to take place that could not take place in any other place than the promise. God didn't wipe you out for your impatience before. Remember I said at the start, there's some things you can't do anymore. If you're impatient in the promise, you will be destroyed. Now let the fear of God come upon you.
I can't wait.
I wish the lightning bolt would.
Now.
Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Anger and wrath and greed have been your protective devices. Now you have no excuse for it. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. To do self-seeking. Avon is evil, wickedness. Self-seeking. For evildoers shall be divorced, is what that word is. And if you continue in your own, doing your own thing. And you only do that when you have said that he is Christ is not my life. Right. If you continue to do your own thing, I mean, once you see it's all him, then you're free. You're free from anxiety, wrath, fret. I mean, you see the Father, you see God, it's all and in all. The moment you begin to get religious, and then you'll be divorced. Evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, just a little teeny while, because we've crossed the board, we've crossed this thing. Yet a little while, and the wicked one shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Hallelujah. I mean, pretty soon, you'll have to try extremely hard to think about yourself. The evil one shall not be in a very little while. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's enough. God, it's 10 o'clock. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody got anything to say?
Amen.
Who said that? Take a big guy.